to
follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard with you. We are live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Fun 3-hour program lined up today. On the show, Mike Palm comes up second hour. It's an hour and 15 minutes from right now. We're going to do 3 full segments with him. Hardcore hockey. I can't wait to get his breakdown on what to expect after the Olympic break. And then night one coming back tonight. Matt Eumanns, best bets in golf and a lot of college basketball tonight. TMI Ozzie.
Yeah.
In an hour.
Bombs away.
Had Joe Highsmith at 950-1 last year on Saturday morning of this exact golf tournament. We'll talk to him about that. We'll go down memory lane and who he likes this weekend. And the angle has been so hot in college basketball. How hot, you might ask? How about 35-10 run? 6 of the last 7 ATS losses were exactly by 3 points. And the man who put this angle together is our producer, Luke DeVosta. He's going to be in studio coming up in about, that was a tough one. Luke's going to join us in studio in 30 minutes.
Yep.
So, but good. A fun show lined up, Pauly.
Good. Yep. And a tough night for the big market teams with the Lakers and the Knicks. Another tough loss for the Lakers and a horrible third quarter by the Knicks, which, you know, now you don't want to panic because they had a lousy third quarter and couldn't make a shot. But it certainly appears that they're going to get the 4 seed when it's all said and done because the Cavs have an easy schedule. Detroit going to get the 1 seed. Boston so good that, you know, you fire your head coach after you go to the conference finals, and to think they could be the 4 seed is really incredible when you think about it.
Well, and honestly, like this, I think, is a big picture view of the NBA for everybody involved. We're talking about players, organizations, fans, and no doubt about it, bettors as well. So it was a busy schedule last night. Look at how many teams they put on a back-to-back tonight. Can we cut down the number of games and then like make it like 58 per year? And then spread it out so we don't have these silly situations and you're waiting for all the news and the amount of line movement we've had on tonight's card specifically. I mean, it's fun for exactly nobody involved. Bettors can take advantage of it, obviously, but you have to wait. You got to be dialed in. And for example, and you know, the Oklahoma City were on a back-to-back. Impressive win by that team last night. They get Detroit off a bad loss against, well, not bad, but they didn't look good in the second half against San Antonio on Monday night. So they've had one day of rest here for that team to get ready for him. And now the news comes out earlier today, like, and it was already like Detroit 8, thinking that Chet might not play, then downgraded to doubtful. And here you go. Now Detroit's 10.5. I did attack that game with a player prop that I'll tell you about coming up, but you have the Thunder, you have the Raptors, the Warriors, the Celtics, and the Cavaliers and the Bucks in the same game. So you have 6 different teams, 7 different teams on a back-to-back, and it's not even a big card tonight, Pauly.
Mm-hmm. Well, you really, I have to respect the Celtics and what they've done, but this is a horrible situation.
Terrible.
Where it's 3rd game in 4 nights and the back-to-back, and then you're going with altitude, and the Nuggets are well-rested. So even though they're in the mid-20s in defense, I would think that they can win and cover tonight against the Celtics. And the other thing is David Pertum wrote about it. We've been discussing it. There's been a major shift in sports books. But SGA out again. I believe that's his 12th missed game. Wembanyama can only miss 2 more. Joker can only miss 1 more. So again, with all these guys out in OKC, and you have to cross off Joker, and Wemby's up against it as well, of what this means with the MVP and how it keeps moving with all these guys that are out, and you have to play 65 games. So SGA is down to $1.20. Wembanyama was 25-1 a couple days ago.
Yesterday.
Yep. He's now 20 at DraftKings, lower than that in Las Vegas. And money keeps coming in on Cade Cunningham. So a lot of people are betting Cade. Some people bet Wembanyama in the last couple days. I know you talked to Jeff Sherman at the Westgate. They took a respected bet on Wembanyama. So, but still, he can only miss 2 more games. I think we have to draw a line through the second choice, Joker, because he's only down to 1 more. And I think we have to just cross out Jaylen Brown and Luka Doncic, which tough loss for the Lakers. Luke, I don't know what happened there. He's wide open, didn't shoot the ball. He didn't play well. They got beat. And I just think Boston is too talented, and they're going to get a respect as a collective unit group and coaching staff when it's all said and done, and Jalen can't get there.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because that guy deserves to be in the mix. And according to that straw poll again that came out last week, he had no chance. So I don't think Jalen Brown is going to be able to turn it around in only like the next couple of months. And on that note with that team, so he did not play last night. They sat him, and I think they went on like a 51-10 run against the Suns in that game last night. Suns can't score right now in their current form, and they get the Lakers tomorrow night. But the Celtics now, here's the breakdown against the Nuggets. Third game in four nights. Boston is 6-3 straight up and ATS with no rest, 7-2 to the under on the year. And for the Nuggets, they have not played since Sunday. This is a Sean Grandy, who is a dynamite play-by-play guy for the Celtics, is also a tremendous follow on Twitter. Boston has outscored teams by 248 points in their first 30 road games. They're 20-10 overall. Only four teams in the history of the league have done that for a full season on the road. We're talking about scoring differential on the road. The best team ever, the 1972 Lakers, plus 11.32 on the road. This year's Thunder, plus 11.32. Last year's Thunder, 10.43. Last year's Celtics, plus 9.41. The 1970 Knicks, and then you have this year's Celtics team. Brown's going to be back tonight. I think Peyton Pritchard has a big game, but his points prop is 18.5. He had kind of a dud last night, but he has been so much better this year since they put him coming off the bench. I think he probably goes for 20-plus and hits a bunch of threes against Denver's defense. But I also don't think I can take the 3.5 because situationally here, it is a bad spot for Boston. And
I like the Nuggets, even though they've been so bad defensively. I just take the spot for the Celtics, and they're due for a bad game. The other angle. It's also unfortunate that you have this marquee doubleheader, and you have what Boston's facing, and then we thought OKC against Detroit, 45-14 against 42-14, yet everyone's out, and it's a five-point move in the line, and Detroit's now laying double digits. I think the Spurs take care of the Raptors. They've won 9 in a row. San Antonio trying to get the one seed, 41-16 now. And what they've done, how they locked down Cade and how they locked down Detroit. You catch Toronto now on a back-to-back. Spurs laying 7.5 on the road. I like that. And then, boy, how does Golden State, no matter who they throw out there, can't beat Memphis? How Memphis is tanking and how creative they're getting with whom they're not playing?
You figure out the Warriors. How did they beat the Nuggets the other night? And then last night, terrible loss for that team.
Well, at least the Pelicans are trying, though. Memphis is trying. I mean, what they did, that lineup they put out there against Sacramento, and to lose against Sacramento, who had lost 16 in a row, and you're down double digits at home for much of the game. I mean, they're just trying to, they're picking people out of the stands at this point, not even trying to make it look good.
Maybe
they're
in
throwing
play?
Out there.
Maybe in
That's
play?
Another, yeah, not
if,
a bad
if,
one
just,
either.
Just in case the Grizzlies come out and they get on top of the Warriors early, and they're like, we don't want to win this game, and the Warriors come roaring back at that point. Very tricky with some of these teams. So this is how I attacked the OKC-Detroit game. Chet again, doubtful. And they're now 10.5-point dogs against Detroit. Since the All-Star break, Jalen Duren has been the man. And on the year, by the way, he's averaging 18 points and 10.5 rebounds. So in the two games, the first game back against Chicago, he had 26-13. Against San Antonio in that loss on Monday night, he had 25-14. And keep in mind, the Spurs obviously had Wembanyama in that game. Tonight, his points... And I was looking to bet it, actually, and then the news dropped on with Chet, so I got it moved like at least one full point. But I played over 28.5 points and rebounds tonight from Duren at minus 120. And you can also get creative and just play like 18-plus points, 10-plus rebounds if you'd like, if you want to do like a same-game parlay. And you can do that at plus money. I thought about doing 20-plus points and 15 rebounds. I looked earlier, and that paid like plus 360. I think that's absolutely doable tonight against a, you know, kind of a MASH unit here for Oklahoma City. On the flip side, Wallace has been great. So has Isaiah Joe, but now Isaiah Joe's three-point prop tonight's 3.5. It's plus money. He's been going bombs away a lot lately. But I played Cason Wallace, who has been phenomenal in those last two games, 20-plus points, a ton of rebounds, ton of assists. I played a same-game parlay on him. Not too ridiculous. It was like 10 points. Four rebounds, four assists, and a couple of steals. Paid 7-1 on Wallace when I played. I think it was three steals actually. Paid 7-1.
Well, I got to come right back with the Milwaukee Bucks and Porter props again. So the line has moved big time because Harden fractured his thumb on his right hand, and they don't know how long he's going to be out. But is that enough to move the number? Which that's a back to back, but you had an easy time of it against the Knicks. The Bucks continue to win games, and a great win at home against Miami come from behind. They've won 7 of 9. This was 9, and now it's down to 4. And the total has moved 6 points to the under. But the way the Bucks are scoring and how Porter's prop was 17.5. He had 32 points, and he went over his assists again.
Yeah.
So the run that Porter's on and Rollins, which we discussed, Rollins and Porter, of all people, leading the way for the Bucks, and what looked to be a lost season, and it was a catastrophe when Freak was out. Now they've won 6 of 8, and they're actually in shouting distance and right there to get the 10 seed. I don't think that's going to happen, but still, they've been playing the role of spoiler here and having a lot of wins as underdogs and impressive wins. And I would think we see points again against the Cavs tonight on a back-to-back.
I'm tracking down an updated number right now on Porter for tonight with the points, rebounds, and assists. And it looks like it's still sitting at 30.5. Zach Cohen wrote about that play today at vsin.com. He's been averaging 35.5 PRA last 8 games. And to your point, last night he had 32-7-7. And tonight it's been adjusted, obviously, but 30.5 you can find over at about,
yeah,
right now at DK, it's minus 106.
He's $1.50 to score 18 points. They have been, they wised up to his assists. They moved that and adjusted that, but still $1.50 to score 18 when you know he's going to get plenty of shots and looks and what he's doing every single game. And you, and your buddy Cam Thomas also likes to shoot.
Yeah. No, I like the PRA for Porter,
yeah,
for sure tonight.
Kuzma played well. That was unexpected.
I think the Bucks win the game.
I wouldn't be surprised. They're hot.
Playing well. Up next, we'll hit the college schedule coming up. We have a great game tonight in the Big East and a big one for UConn's chances at grabbing the final number one seed in the tournament. We'll explain why coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We are going to go hardcore hockey with Mike Palm coming up an hour from right now. It's a really good slate. Good sports night tonight, obviously. NHL returning, some really good NBA games. College basketball is really good as well, including the rematch now, Paulie. This is in Hartford tonight, actually. UConn hosting St. John's, and the Huskies are favored by 5.5 points in this game. The Johnnies got them at the Garden the last time they played not that long ago. The place was absolutely jumping. It was a great atmosphere. I just have, as someone holding UConn futures at, was it 15-16-1 from back early on in the season? Let me point this out real quick. And why I'm really down on the bet that I made. And there's no way I could bet them tonight against St. John's.
Wow. Trust the coach and the program.
Well, here, let me point some things out here. UConn is 6-11 ATS in the Big East, 1-4 in their last 5, 3-11 ATS in their last 14. Some of their games, they were laying 10 to Providence, they won by 5, favored by 19.5 over DePaul, won by 12, favored by 11 over Georgetown the first game, they won by 2. They were laying 15.5 in the rematch to Providence, they won by 6. 16.5 in the rematch to Georgetown, they won by 4. And then last week, they were favored by 15.5 at home to Creighton. They lost by 7. I mean, they're not even coming close to meeting expectations here.
With their losses, they've been bad on the glass. That's the one common theme. But I like your ticket. They could get a 1 seed, and they have an unbelievable coach in the tournament. And a lot of people dismissed them last year. They won that first game 8-9 and could have beat Florida in the second round.
Yes, very much so.
Torvik has St. John's 19th. Are there 18 teams better than St. John's?
I don't know.
They've been great defensively, and I know McDermott talked about the Creighton coach, how great they are with Darling and the added dimension he gives that team. 81-72 in the first meeting, 22-5 against 25-3, 15-1 in the Big East. They only allow 69 points per game, but you know, defense will travel. And how they do a great job defensively and cleaning the boards, and an excellent Hall of Fame coach. You know, last year was a disappointment with what happened in the second round against Arkansas, but that was a team that really struggled to shoot. And also there was a controversy about what he did sitting the point guard. Mm-hmm. But how well this team's playing and the long winning streak. Adam Burke has a great write-up today. He made the case for St. John's plus the points. But they were, this will not happen today. They were plus 17 at the line in the first game.
Yeah, that's going to get corrected.
That is no doubt about that. So I would expect the whistle to go the way of the Huskies, and I would expect UConn to win a close game tonight, although I was wrong on the first one.
So you did bring up the offensive rebounding for UConn and how in their three worst performances on that side of the stat sheet anyway, they all lost, right? Their only three losses were their worst three offensive rebounding games of the entire year. And here's why that's a big deal, because when they're not getting offensive rebounds, that's obviously one and done. Well, they shoot 56% on twos and 38% on threes in conference games. That's the best overall in Big East play. That's part of Adam Burke's write-up today. And so if they're getting their second chances, like they're too good of a shooting team, they're going to go back in. And if, you know, if that gets corrected in this game as well, as I totally agree with you, Will, the free throws will come back in their favor tonight. It won't be plus 17 made or 19 in attempts for St. John's in this game. And plus now you're also playing with, you got to come out with your hair on fire a little bit with that recent loss to Creighton and the fact that nobody else wants that fourth number one overall seed. Like that can be a big deal here for the team. Also, now I said, I'm not laying it with UConn. I would take St. John's, but I missed the best number. Sixes were out there.
And Patino's in a bad mood. They all went to breakfast and no one said a word. They're all looking at their phones.
He made a point to tweet that out today. Had a priest, the entire coaching staff, all the players.
The priest was looking at his phone too?
No.
Okay.
I can't imagine that was it. I mean, but he said all 13 players?
Yes.
Every single one of them on their phones, not one conversation going on. He goes, that's the next step here now with these kids.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Big one on Peacock. I know.
They're, if you go back and look at St. John's losses in the non-conference.
Well, different team, but also close. Right. Close.
They're all close.
That's right.
Good teams, too, they lost to.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They're right there. So you love how they're playing and peaking right now. It's a good card tonight and a lot of interesting games and a deep card. As we talked about, the four late games are fire as well. There are four games that tip at 8 o'clock Pacific. This one's on television. Santa Clara and St. Mary's, I consider this a play-in game that the winner's in. Santa Clara 23-6, St. Mary's 25-4, both are 14-2 in conference play. St. Mary's, according to Bracketology, is a 9 seed, but they don't have a quad one win, and they lost the first meeting at Santa Clara. They get them at home tonight, and then they get Gonzaga at home Saturday. All they have to do, I think, is get one of these. And when I say that, I also mean the round three, which will be out here for the West Coast tournament in the semifinal game. Torvik has St. Mary's 29, has Santa Clara 28. St. Mary's has a better resume and body of work than Santa Clara. Lenardi has Santa Clara last four in. The winner is in tonight. Great game. And I thought Greg Peterson made a good point. Yesterday.
Look at that total.
How can you have a total this high in a St. Mary's game?
153 and a half
now. I'm totally with him on that one.
He made a 145 and a half at VSiN.com today.
Yeah. So definitely a play-in game there as well. And they need a lot of help. We're looking at a scenario where the Mountain West only gets one team in, or maybe two, or one at large. I'll just say that.
Yeah. And by the way, remember, if you go back weeks ago, people were talking about 3-4 easy for the Mountain West. New Probably Mexico, not happening now.
I didn't trust Nevada, but they got it done, won and covered. New Mexico up against it. Last team in. San Diego State needs to win this game to stay alive, and they're going to need help because then they play New Mexico Saturday. They are 1.5 against Utah State. Utah State, a 7 seed, and the Aztecs up against it as well. And how about your Badgers? This Wisconsin team can score. Is 4.5 too short at Oregon?
Oregon's terrible. But
is
man,
it the travel?
It's the travel for sure.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. That's a weird. I can't. Humans is going to have an opinion on this game. I don't know which side he's going to bet. I know he wants to talk about the game. I think he's going to be on Oregon, but I might be wrong on that. Wisconsin, JVT and I talked about that on Pod of the Futures this week, now available wherever you get your pods. He bet Wisconsin to win the whole thing at 100-1. We talked it out. 20-1 is available to make the Final Four. Like, they're that explosive. And look at their wins.
Yep.
Now, on the road, Illinois and Michigan, like, when they play, they can play to that level now, and offensively, and they have some just sick individual talent. But tonight, now it's 5.5. Ooh, boy.
I thought SMU was laying too much too. Same type of deal. Like Cal is the last four out, and SMU is on the 8-9 line. But that with that travel, SMU laying four at Cal tonight. Maybe that's a little risky business too.
Mm-hmm. Let me point this out back to the Mountain West for 1 second here. The Utah State Aggies are actually only 6-10 ATS in league play. San Diego State's 9-7. The first time they played, Utah State got them 71-66.
The Aztecs blew a big lead.
Yeah, look at this recent form too, by the way, by the Aztecs. Favored by 8 mm-hmm. against Grand Canyon last week. They lost by 10. Favored by 2.5 over Colorado State over the weekend. Colorado State's a decent, you know, at least a decent basketball team. But the Aztecs lost that one by 9. Utah State 23-4 overall, but they're off that loss to Nevada. Do you have an opinion on this game? Have you bet it yet?
I know it doesn't always work that way, but this is a game that they usually win, and that the Aztecs find a way to win these games. But you're right with the poor form. Plus, Utah State's coming off a disappointing loss. But one team's got their season on the line, and the other team knows that they're in as they're sitting safely as a 7th seed with Utah State.
I'll tell you this. I made a couple of bets after the show was over with last night, and these numbers kept moving.
I bet St. Mary's, sorry. Yep.
Okay. I bet Central Florida last night. That number got to 14.5.
They're up 30. That was outrageous. Up 30. That's a tournament team.
The first number that I saw was 14-4. They blew them out from the jump.
Yeah.
And I didn't bet it, but they were 7-1 in the money line at the book where I bet it at. So that was an easy winner. The loss I had, I am telling you what, when I bet unders in a game, I got to be 0 for the entire year. I took a shot with under. I just thought Air Force San Jose State got to 145.5. In an Air Force game, both those teams they're awful defensively, but they play slow. It got to 145.5. That game had 80 points at halftime. It had absolutely no chance of winning. Every time I bet an under, it turns into, you know, a three-point shooting contest with NBA All-Stars involved.
There were no bad spots either. You know, I thought this was a tough spot for Duke. Notre Dame embarrassed themselves.
Wow.
And there was no letdown for UCLA. Dent was great in the win, but you know, USC rivalry game, they got a tough turnaround for UCLA, and UCLA took them out.
Mm-hmm.
So that dog had fleas too. And this just came down as well. Harden is questionable. Mitchell's out, but Harden doesn't need surgery on the fractured thumb.
So it's got to be right.
It's
hand.
On his right hand.
Right,
yeah.
Got to be. Yeah.
Yeah. He probably doesn't play tonight, but at least they got good news there, where no surgery, but no Mitchell.
Actually, if you're betting Kevin Porter props, don't you want Harden to play?
Yeah, no resistance.
I mean,
not bad.
This Bucks team, they're going for it.
I know. They were right. They were what? They were 2. They started 2-11 without Freak, and now they've won 6 of 8, including wins against Miami, at OKC on the road, and there was another win in there where they were a 6-7 point dog.
Watch him close strong, make Freak happy. He changes his mind, and they run it back with Doc Rivers. 2 games. Fit the angle tonight in college basketball. Our producer, Luke, is coming up. He's a person who noticed it, put it together, and it is 35-10.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
As I said, it is a very busy college basketball card coming up tonight. And our producer, Luke DeVosta, on the program today. There isn't a mic set up in the back, so tough to him for him to join us throughout the entire show. But he has put together something called The Angle in College Basketball. We'll talk about. There are 2 plays tonight, by the way, which we are going to get to eventually here in this segment. You'll find out what they are. But do I have this right? It's 35-10. Last 40, well, basically 45 plays since you noticed this?
Yeah, 35-10 ATS since I first noticed it, which was, back on January 20th was the first day I really started tracking, noticing that this was hitting at a rate that was interesting. So that was the first day, January 20th. And I do have a little story about that because we talked about it on the show. We actually did mention that this angle was involved in a couple of games that day. It was Kent State and Missouri. Kent State was taken on Miami, Ohio. Missouri was taken on Georgia. Both of those teams were, we should have faded. But I bet them, went 0-2 and realized this thing might be pretty strong. So I actually started fading it.
Oh, I see. Okay. So you started January 20th. The college basketball season starts right away in November. I wonder what the results were for the first two months of the entire year.
Yeah. I mean, because the reason I found this was through putting together the info on the rundown, because you're the one who, Mitch was the one who put these sites into my sphere, kind of the Ken Palms, the Bart Torvik, the Hazometrics. But I didn't have the subscription for Ken Palm. So I went Bart Torvik, Hazometrics, and Greg Peterson.
You're at VSIN, yep.
Yep. And just kind of started plugging away with those. And I don't know if I just wasn't focused on anything in particular. We were kind of tracking, you know, differences in lines, how many points away is a certain game. But the actual flipping of the favorite ended up being what has kind of been the most valuable. And it did take a while, though, to find it, but happy we did.
Can you expand on what constitutes a play then? And what goes into everything?
Yes.
Yeah, so, and one other thing, too. 10 losses, 78% last 45 plays. 4 of the 10 losses were on one day. That was a busy Saturday, February 7th, went 4-4 ATS and all close losses. So it's been an incredible run. But define it, please.
Yeah, so the angle essentially comes down to these three sites, Bart Torvik, Hazometrics, and then Greg Peterson here on VSIN. So two of those sites are free, one you're subscribing for here. But if those three sites say one team is favored and you check the book and it has the opposite team favored, that's when you agree with these three sites. You take the dog at the book and roll from there. So that's why every single play we see is a dog. They can't be favorites. And every single one is obviously close to 1.5, 2.5, 3.5, because you're able to flip the line that way.
Now, how about that? After what we've discussed for 2 weeks straight, 3 weeks about the false favorite, 8 straight angle plays have been +1.5.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And you've cashed 6 in a row now. +1.5 over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Over the weekend, it was 6-0.
Yes. 6-0.
And every game was 1.5. And what do you have here? 6 of the last 7 losses were all super tight games and lost by 3 points against the spread?
Yeah. So 6 of the last 7, all exactly 3-point losses. So all by 1.5 on the spread, all coming down to that last possession. I think going back, I can only recall like 1 or 2 blowouts. There was a blowout like a month ago, Cal Poly. I had one night and there was just no chance for them the entire game. But everything else is either insanely close loss, heartbreaking, devastating, bad beat comeback like we had with Holy Cross.
Holy 19. Cross was up by 19 at halftime catching points and they lost.
And everything else, it's just like these games almost have, it's weird to say, but like each game almost has a similar pattern to the others in the sense of it's like it's a strong run. Typically for the team I'm betting on early.
Yeah.
And then they kind of fade. There's been some comebacks too. We had Lehigh come back against BU over the weekend. It's crazy.
Good observation. Good for an in-play angle too.
Mm-hmm.
As our side is usually off to a nice lead.
Yep. So have you noticed though, in all these winners, how many of those are actually close games? Because the market is telling you like it's supposed to be a close game overall, whether or not it's the actual betting number that you're getting or the projection sites, right? Like, it's pretty close. Like, this is not, again, you're not trying to find if Torvik, Peterson, and Haslam have a game all at, like, -9 and the market is -2. That's not what the story is here. You're all, it's the wrong favorite, basically, is what the angle comes down to. Have you noticed that are these dogs typically winning overall in easy fashion, or have you had a lot of close games as well with the winners?
Yeah, I mean, I've only actually needed the hook a couple of times. I think it was, like, January 23rd, Buffalo, I had them +2.5. They needed a last second shot against UMass to cover. They lost. But yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know if I have an exact number on that, but it seems to be most of them are, if they're winning, you're pretty set towards end of game. Like I said, a couple of bad beats, a couple devastating losses. But yeah, for the most part, it's not super close. It's not blowouts, but it's not overly close either. I'm not totally sweating every single one to the bitter end.
Yep. Follow Luke on X, by the way, at Luke DIV. He tweets out all these plays when he notices them. Again, he uses 3 different sites. And if they all have one team favored, but the betting number is the exact opposite, that means fire on the underdog here. Or I should say, if the betting market has a team favored and all 3 other sites have that team flipped, there you go, 35-10, 45 plays since he documented this at 78%. Unfortunately, the way that you and I were talking about this before we came out here in this segment, we're probably not going to have a lot of games on a daily basis, even though the schedule is going to have a ton of games moving forward into the March Madness, just because as numbers get tighter, it feels like you're not going to have 2, 3, 4, 5 every single night, you think?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it seemed that way. And like another thing, when I was checking back, going through this, just looking at these spreads, we've been talking about the 1.5 and it's mostly 1.5 now, but earlier in the year we had, earlier a month ago, we had 2.5s, 3.5s, sure. 4.5s. On January 24th, I bet UCF +2.5. They were favored or should have been favored against, I think it was Colorado. And that line moved to +4.5. So I hit it again and they won outright. Like it's so mm-hmm. even going against the line movement has been crazy, but yeah, lately it's all these 1.5s. I think it's just, the books without football on, they're maybe a little more focused on some of these games in college basketball. And, I hope we're loaded for like the first few days of the mid-major tournament,
yes.
You know, because
yes.
I think when we get to March, there's so few games, they're going to be locked in on everything. But yeah, I really think, you know, some of these like Patriot League first rounds, like all these types of smaller conferences, I think we could see some stuff.
All right. What's Fitzy Angle today?
So today we've got one at 4:00. It is Charlotte taking on North Texas, Charlotte +1.5. And I believe every site had them around 2 or 2.5 point favorite against North Texas tonight. So that's at 4:00 Pacific, 7:00 Eastern. That's play number one.
And you can still find, looking at the screen right now, you can, with various juice, but you can still find 1.5 out there. Some books actually have Charlotte now the favorite, but if you can still find 1.5 right now with Charlotte, that would qualify as a play, obviously.
And then the second one tonight, we have in the late window, 8 Pacific, 11 Eastern, we're going with Loyola Marymount over Washington State. I believe they are still a +1.5 at most books, and that'll be tipping off. Yeah, 8:00 Pacific, get them +1.5. I mean, like I said, there's only been a couple of times this thing's gotten hooked, so money line, just as, maybe just as valuable.
I don't know about that. You're going to hate yourself. Yeah. Hate yourself if falls one. That can happen.
It can.
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, how about tomorrow?
So for tomorrow, I don't have anything just yet because some of these lines are still mm-hmm. popping out. But what I've done is I've checked on, it's super easy to check on Bart Torvik's website. You mm-hmm. can sort the games by line. So that kind of gives me those handful of games with the tight spreads. The best one I see, honestly, right now, and again, it's not official yet. We have to wait and see what the line is going to be. It looks like it's going to be Eastern Washington against Northern Colorado tomorrow. If Eastern Washington's posted as a dog, we're going to be betting them. That is one of those. And I think I see, I don't know if it's posted anywhere yet, but Wager talks as pick at the moment. Okay. So,
well, great job by you. Again, all follow right. Luke on X. He's at Luke DIV Delta India Victor on Twitter. Phenomenal job overall. Have you upped the size of your bets at all since it really got hot?
I swear the one time I did, I think it was that 4-4 weekend. Yeah. I swear it was. Yeah. Like it was just, I was like, yeah. We got so much here.
Plus you're on a 6-game winning streak, so you're probably concerned about tonight too.
Oh, mm-hmm. Sure.
Yep, yeah. Tonight.
And you come on air and,
put it out there for everybody.
The kibosh has been put on it for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So no, I'm trying to keep it consistent and it's genuinely been a fantastic just lesson in patience for me. I'm super impatient with a lot of stuff. So it's like, just locking into these few games when they pop up and hold off otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, because you've been texting me, we've been DMing, mm-hmm. I've been, I set your Twitter to my alerts as well, and I'm like, God, I got to go, and I don't. I have not gone, it's been the same exact unit every single time. Mm-hmm.
These are trash games too, I love it.
That's what makes it even better.
Let's get down in the weeds, I know, it's beautiful.
Let's hit a 2-0 tonight, huh? That'd be mm-hmm. nice. Thanks, Luke. Win-lose up next. Two huge jackpots hit at Circa here yesterday. Paulie, details coming up.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last?
last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Pauly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
A shocker in Champions League. Glimt moves to the Sweet 16. They beat Inter Milan. To put this in perspective, how big of an upset was it? They advanced in aggregate. They won the second leg outright, and they were 10-1 just on the second leg. Incredible, stunning upset.
What was Inter Milan, for example, on the money line?
Yeah, that was a big one. $4, probably?
And by the way, didn't Glimt just have a huge upset like a couple weeks ago?
They did.
Win-lose?
Leverkusen draw, 3-1. Leicester City, Middlesbrough, Championship League draw, plus 350. Our friend Sheffield Wednesday were at it again. They're playing. They were down 2-0 today, last check. Central Florida, rocking chair, 8-1 on the money line. 14-point dogs. They were up 30 in that game. I mean, there was your letdown for BYU. Yeah. Didn't happen with Duke and other teams, but man, what a horrible performance. But I thought that spread was weird. Northwestern, plus 350, beat Indiana. Dayton throttled St. Louis. I like the Billikens. That was a no-show. Dayton, plus 180, and that move was correct, from 6 down to 3.5.
And that was never a game either.
No, it wasn't. Bucks, plus 220. Magic, plus 220. Lakers lose for the first time all year when leading after 3. Mavs Nets over, 224 up to 228. Celtics Suns under, 211 down to 206. State of the Union mentions. He said, no, no, no. Drill, baby, drill. Those were lower odds.
Yeah, that was below 50% for sure.
Fentanyl paid well, too. We wasn't expected to say fentanyl. Other ones where you thought it was a lock, hockey, gold, AI, artificial intelligence, cartel, Kirk, no problem, what he said.
How did we not just put a ton of money into those markets last night and unload on words such as cartel and hockey? Yes.
Yeah, I knew they'd be there.
Come on.
Right. I thought Charlie Kirk, too, he was only like trading at 80%. 79% while we were on the air.
And
there was some under movement, some no movement. Can you call and round robin this? He's going to say.
No, I don't think so.
He's going to say.
I wish.
I know. He'll say fentanyl, Pelosi, Menstal Institution, hockey, and gold, right? He also mentioned all these places during his speech. Iowa, Florida, Ukraine, Russia, New York, Gaza, Iran, India, Korea, Israel, Memphis, Mexico, Congo. Got all those in somehow.
Many of those were 90% or above.
Well, still impressive. He got them all in. Although, what was the actual time he talked as a terms when you take out the applause?
That's what I said yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
Now do you know why I can't watch any of those? It doesn't matter.
I can't.
Right. I mean, I can't. Please, just for the love of God, moving forward, let whoever the president is speak for 5 minutes before you.
Here's what Mitch was talking about. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos. At Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in. We'll put you on. I retweeted this. This happened while we were on the air. For only the second time in the history of Circa Resort being open, the Pigou Progressive hit the 7-card straight flush. You need to get more money if you don't have the Joker. So I talked to Joe, who works here. He was playing with his family. They all left. He stayed. He's the only one at his table. And he gets dealt the 7-card straight flush. 8, 9, 10. Jack, queen,
yeah, it's all
king.
There.
Yeah, there it is, without a joker. And he didn't win the hand. I'm sure he doesn't care. But gets $380,000. So now the Progressive reset. It's now $70,000. It's hit for only the second time. Incredible.
You know, I'm curious about this. Do you think there is, and this would be somebody for the audience as well, maybe outside of Las Vegas, or maybe here in Vegas where we don't know, if you do hit that without the joker, are there spots that pay out more money? That was my first thought. No joker?
No kidding.
You get it straight?
Yeah. They on Face Up Pigou, you get paid more if the dealer has a Pigou with a joker. You get paid more. If it's side bet, you can bet the side bet on that. Yeah.
I saw Paul Charchin respond to this, and he said, my problem is I don't play the side bet.
Oh,
he thinks
on.
It's too negative EV.
He just plays straight up.
Imagine you get that. Oh, you don't have the bonus bet, though.
Like the Frank B story, right?
Hello,
the
guy, Hoover Dam.
Caribbean stud. So now, right before this happened, the 3-card poker Progressive hit. Lady sat down on the first hand, got the royal flush for 31,000.
First hand, here.
First hand, here. Earlier in the day. Incredible. Wow, so now we just need the Texas, the No Limit Texas Hold'em to hit.
That
progressive's 580,000.
Wow. Am I wrong on this? You're a big fan of the three-card poker, right?
Yeah, every hand's an adventure. Yeah. It's an event. It's fun, yeah.
I have some friends who absolutely, like, that's their game.
It's fun, yeah. So this also hit while we're on vacation. This was Harrah's, Luke. At Harrah's, 1.5 million. We showed that briefly yesterday. He has the Joker, though. But this is different than Circa. That's an impressive jackpot for Circa, that it's only one spot. You know, these Harrah's, Caesars, whatever, these all are tied into different properties. Yeah. That's why it's also pays so high. And that hit for 1.5 million. And this is cool. This was on X. This is Caesar's Sportsbook in the early 80s. Can we go back to this? Look at the chairs. They're set up with the helmets of football teams in the NFL.
I like it.
Raiders, Cowboys. What a unique way to... It's like where they take the top off the helmet, and that's where you sit in the sportsbook. Oh, that's awesome. Well done. Lose some, Warriors, Pelicans over 225 up to 229. No good. One lose some. How about a good dog video? I think you sent this in. When the plan of escape goes awry, totally backfires. The puppy wants to get out of the gate, and the guy comes in, but the puppy gets stuck in between the bars.
No, I didn't send this.
The other guy comes out, no problem, right? He's like, look at this. That's my whole plan. What am I going to do? The look on his face, right? Where he realizes, oh, no. Like, he got out, no problem, but now I'm stuck. What am I going to do?
Double whammy.
Yeah. Oh, no. Help the poor guy. That's a bad beat. And a bad beat. Pete Hamill sent this in from Iowa. Ball State under. Stone Cold, dead nuts under, but goes to overtime. And you get beat there.
Always fun.
Thanks to the Sharp Plays. We love them. Been with us. Follow the money since day one. The AI Plays. The Robinhood Selections. Donation to charity. He is connected. Great sources. Alerts directly from the pros. And beat the boards and pound the boards. And the madness with the Sharp Plays. Championship week. The little guys start their conference tournaments next week. The first bid goes out a week from Saturday. There are four bids next Sunday. Real-time global betting info. Records updated daily. Sharpplays.com.
Good stuff. Good stuff there. Spring training baseball. We're now pretty much a week into this. I have bets, but I can't share them on the air yet because not all books have posted numbers. So I want to see what they're going to open at. And then I will. But I'm still waiting to add one more bet, like to win the Cy Young, shall we say. But Circa, for example, they don't have any odds up yet for awards. And there is I'll give you a hint. There is a pitcher going today. Actually, they already won, and he pitched the second time already on the year. He is the one guy I wanted to bet to win an award this year, if the number was right. I did at 60-1, and I want to see what Circa is going to open up at some point, I think, in the next week or so. And I'll share on the air once those numbers are all available. I was looking at the most wins by a team market overall.
Yeah.
The Dodgers are $2. So because they're so loaded and their power rating is so high, that's going to create some pretty big numbers down the board. Like, for example, the Yankees are 17-1 most wins. The Mariners are like 19-1. I was looking at some projections on Fangraphs and beyond. The Mariners have, at some sites, the second highest projected win total the entire year. The Mariners are around like 15 or 20-1. I know some people are super high on the Tigers, and that makes sense, obviously, with Skubal getting Valdez as well. And now that offense, if you expect him to take another leap this year, they're 40-1 or higher for most wins, and they're playing in a division with the Twins and the White Sox. Like, if the Dodgers stumble a little bit and somebody surprises, like the Brewers won, what, 99 games last year, almost pulled that off. Who could it be?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Good. Good. No, it's fun here, too, when you get in the trash with some of these college basketball teams. So we just talked to Luke with the angle. 78% last 45 plays. This was pretty good at VSiN Insights. Nebraska-Omaha made the tournament last year. Lost to St. John's. They're laying this freaking number again, right? They're laying 1.5 at South Dakota. They lost the first meeting by 4. They had a bad night shooting the 3. but they shoot at 37% on the year. South Dakota's lost three straight without their leading scorer, and a little revenge for Omaha. 1.5 on the road.
Okay, good.
I thought that was a good angle, too, here.
I like it.
Because now, because the West Coast plays their games on Wednesdays, the Thursday card's atrocious now in college basketball. You know, there's not much there, and you only usually have one ranked matchup.
It's the one-year anniversary of Joe Highsmith winning the Cogizant Classic, and he was 950-1 to win the event before round three. TMI Ozzie will rehash the story and tell us his approach this week coming up next.